If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Today is Friday. It's March 4th, 2016. Donald Trump is not yet president of the United States. Hi, I'm John Williams. And we are the Mincing Rascals. It's our weekly podcast featuring Steve Bertrand from WGN Radio. Hi, Steve.
Hello, John Williams.
Also, Kristen McQuarrie joins us, editorial writer for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Kristen.
Hey, John.
How are you?
Good.
You're not that difficult a name for me to remember. Our producer is Kristen Decker, though, so we'll get to everybody here in a minute. Eric Zorn joins us normally, but he can't today because he's at the big True False Film Festival in Missouri, which is awesome. I was there a year ago. I don't blame him for blowing this off to go see that. Mark Baser is sitting in for him, a friend of ours, a sometimes columnist, comedian, and follower of the news. Hi, Mark Baser. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't know how to introduce you. I don't know what you're. What are you, Mark Baser? What are your best credentials for this podcast?
Follower of the news. That
there
sounds fine. The interview show, talk show host.
Yeah, well, you do that.
Every show tonight. So.
Once a month, he does a stand-up interview talk show. It's comedy. It's current events. It's brilliant. We'll talk more about that another day.
You've ever been on that, Kristen? I've never been on that.
No.
I think John's been on that, which might be why he says
that's
it's brilliant.
That's why I get the plug. Yeah.
Right.
By the way, Steve, whenever you talk too long, I'm just going to hit a little button here. It'll go like this. So if you go too long, we'll just hit that little sound.
And then you talk for 45 more seconds.
Sorry. What did you say?
Nothing.
That was the buzzer they used in the debate last night. So we're speaking the Friday after the Thursday night 11th Republican debate. It'll be remembered as the one where Donald Trump said his penis is big enough. Thank you very much. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
well,
concludes
we got
today's
that
podcast.
Thing
that
is that one of the things? Goodness. Is that one of the things that they fact check afterwards?
We'd like to see pull it a fact.
Yeah.
Well, if you here's the best 30 seconds of that.
I have to say this. He hit my hands. Nobody has ever hit my hands. I've never heard of this one. Look at those hands. Are they small hands? And he referred to my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem. I guarantee it.
Okay. It just shows Mitt Romney had an instant impact on the race.
Well, it was an interesting strategy for the Republicans because the day before they marched him out, he gave an eloquent, kind of funny, but searing, you know, critique of the Trump phenomenon.
Yeah.
What did I say?
No, I'm just saying you said him, but it was Romney.
Yeah. So there was Romney, you know, kind of carrying the water for the Republican Party. And that's going to do one of two things. It's either going to backfire. It'll only, you know, solidify the resolve of the Trump supporters. Or maybe it's going to cause some people to go, yeah, this is the sensible adult in the room, and so maybe Trump's not all that. I don't know.
It was a strong speech, you know. I mean, he has such credibility. His ethics are, you know, untouchable for most Republicans, I think. And so for him to just kind of put together all the different things that Donald Trump has done, this is one of the lines from Mitt Romney's speech yesterday. This is an individual who mocked a disabled reporter, who attributed a reporter's questions to her menstrual cycle, who mocked a brilliant rival who happened to be a woman due to her appearance, who bragged about his marital affairs, and who laces his public speeches with vulgarity. And I mean, those are like the strongest words I've ever heard Mitt Romney say. He was so timid when he ran, but it was pretty searing.
And then Trump's rebuttal to that was that Kasich would get on his knees for Donald Trump.
No, that Romney would.
Yeah. Romney had asked. Yeah. Yeah, Romney had asked for Trump's endorsement. I guess
he said he would have dropped to his knees if I asked him,
and had paraded him around a little bit in 2012.
What was the meaning of that? Get on his knees, by the way. I mean, I think that means get on his knees and pray, right?
Well, or beg.
Beg, yeah.
But that wasn't my first thought.
And no, we're
there's
still
a sexual
on the,
innuendo.
Right,
there too,
we're still on
there.
The penis theme.
Isn't that stunning? Isn't that stunningly vulgar? Holy cow.
No.
You didn't think that at all?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm no fan of Trump's, but I think in that case he just clearly meant
oh, you don't think that's not a double entendre on his part, Mark?
I don't think so.
I think that was quite calculated.
See, Mark, I don't know if he did either, but it was the first thing I thought of.
Well, that's just that goes to show either your brain or Trump's brain.
I know.
But I don't know. One thing that I thought, first of all, I thought Romney came off very well. The speech, I watched the whole thing. He made the point just as well as John Oliver had on the left side on the show that he did, that he devoted entirely to Trump. But one thing that I wondered about was that for all the things that you just said, Kristen, is that Romney did accept Trump's endorsement back in 2012, and all of those things that you just cited and that Romney cited hadn't happened yet then. But at the time, Trump was a full-on birther about Obama. There were clearly things that were wrong about Trump dating back that far.
But
so it to me, it erases the credibility to a large degree of what Romney said, because he went along with it before.
Well, you can accept someone's endorsement without saying you think that person is qualified to be president himself.
True.
Right?
But would you, it does, I think, have some relevance as to what the people who endorse you believe in.
Well, I think it was a very tactical thing when Romney did it, because remember, Trump was making noise then, was inviting people in to meet with him as if he was going to be a kingmaker, and he was sort of, you know, uncontained at that time. So by getting his endorsement, then they brought Trump on his side, you know, sort of a protective measure. And even if you look at Romney's words when he took the endorsement, he said, you know, this is one of those things where I never thought I'd be here. You know, double entendre there, or I don't know. But I think they took the endorsement out of necessity just to keep him from attacking Romney. And I just think, I don't know, it's not a fair equation to say that because you accept someone's endorsement that you think that someone is qualified to be president.
No, I agree with that. But my only point is that if there were somebody that were making as insane an allegation as the fact that Barack Obama wasn't born in the United States, and
right,
and other things that Trump had done prior to that as well, that would not be somebody that I wanted in my court if I were running for president. I'm not saying that Romney ever said
no,
that
I'm
Trump,
with you. I think they brought him in to shut him up.
That might be
well
wrong.
And also helps that he was super duper rich too, right? I mean,
right.
Maybe there was
needed
something
a
to
check
that
written, correct.
Yeah.
I am sure, to your point, that he did not like Trump at the time.
Well, but that's kind of the David Duke problem in a way, isn't it, though? I mean, if somebody says they support you and you don't support them, you just kind of want to ignore it, because one of the collateral advantages of that is that some people like David Duke. And if you can get them in your tent without having to open it for them, then that doesn't really hurt you. You just kind of look the other way. I think that's what Trump tried to do when David Duke spoke out positively about Donald Trump. Do you guys see it that way?
Yeah, I think he was trying to not discourage any voter at all. And so he didn't want to disdain. I don't ever want to hear the word disavow again, though. I've heard it way too many times.
Right.
But right, so he thought, well, if I just don't say anything, then I won't turn off any of these possible voters.
And yeah, but really, what a bad calculation.
Well, it shows what a political novice he is.
Right, because there aren't that many people that support David Duke. I mean, the better play would have been to really pounce on that and say, no, no, no. And then anybody who is wondering about Trump would say, ah, see, he's a good guy. He has my values, too. He's not a white supremacist. So maybe that was the bad play for him. And then he spent the rest of the week. It was one of the first questions that he was asked in the debate last night. Another thing is made a lot about the polls and the numbers. You know, Kasich pointed out that he is the one that beats Hillary better than anybody else. Trump said, well, that was just one poll. And then they all go back and forth on who's winning in the polls. I suppose we're making too much of this sort of thing, huh, Steve? I mean, everybody's got a poll that supports them. But my understanding is that Hillary only beats Donald Trump. She is only able to beat him consistently in the polls.
Well, at least they're not lying about that, right? Because usually politicians say, I don't pay any attention to the polls. We don't govern by polling. At least these people are saying they pay attention to it. I don't even know. I haven't seen the national polls.
I haven't seen a recent one, but Trump, it's not going to be a runaway for Hillary Clinton based on the last poll I saw, which was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, they are more worried about Donald Trump than a Ted Cruz. You know, Hillary Clinton would rather run against somebody like Ted Cruz because, you know, he's so far to the right. They're worried about Trump.
Well, and at least with Cruz, there's going to be some semblance of the rules, running by the rules. And with Trump, you don't know your opponent at all. You don't know what he's going to do the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there came a point in the debate last night where he said, and I haven't even started on Hillary yet, you wait until, because they were comparing his numbers to hers in a straight-up race. And he was like, well, that's because I haven't begun to work on her. And I thought, oh, God, I don't have the stomach for that. I just can't imagine what he would be saying about her and Bill it would be so dispiriting to kind of endure that through November. You know what I mean?
I mean, we actually watched a presidential debate where they talked about penis size. I mean, how much worse can it get?
When was the last time that happened? Like when Fillmore ran, right? They did it back then.
I don't know that it did. Well, actually, we did talk about it when Hillary's husband was president.
Not
but that
was
way,
but
it was
an
entirely different reason. Okay, so can I just play for you guys? This will take a couple of minutes, but maybe it's a good representation of what this all boils down to. It was the part about where Rubio began to attack Trump on Trump University. Do you guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? I thought it was just a fascinating, you know, story that they told, which I hadn't been paying much attention to. Were you all up to speed on the Trump University thing?
Not really. I read about it after the debate. But I was not.
Here's a few minutes of that, just so you kind of get caught up on this story.
That's why Trump University is so relevant here. I saw this video last week where he's sitting in front of a camera saying, we're going to hire the best people, and I'm going to handpick them. And they're going to be handpicked instructors, the best instructors in the world. One of them, by the way, was a manager at a Buffalo Wild Wing. And that's who they hired to do this. And people borrowed money, and they signed up for this fake university. And these people owe all of us money now, and they got nothing in return for it. But you were willing to say whatever you had to say to get them to give you their money.
Go ahead,
and we're not going to do
that
to our country.
We'll find out when we have the trial. By the way, just so you understand, this is a case I could have settled very easily, but I don't settle cases very easily when I'm right. 98% approval rating. We have an A from
That's
the
false.
Better Business Bureau. We have a 98% approval rating of people that took the course. We have an A from the Better Business Bureau, and people like it. Now, he's saying they didn't learn. But many of the people that are witnesses did tremendously well and made a lot of
That's
money
false.
By taking the course.
Go ahead, Senator.
Well, you're going to see. You're going to see. You don't know.
It's a D minus.
Go ahead, it's Senator
it's
Ruiz.
It's a D minus.
No, no,
it's
I've read
wrong.
The
affidavit.
No, no. Before they had the information.
Go on my website, MarcoRubio.com.
Before they had the information.
Wait, Senator Rubio. Senator Rubio, stand by. Let him finish his point quickly.
Once they had the information, it is right now an A. Once they had the information, it got switched. The only reason it was a D was because we didn't care. We didn't give them the information. When they got the information, it became an A.
With respect, we went back and looked at this.
Yes.
The rating from the Better Business Bureau was a D minus. Right, that's
correct.
The last publicly
exactly
available
right.
rating in 2010, and it was a result of the number of complaints they had
but
received.
But it was elevated to an A.
Just,
it was
just
elevated.
That's never
it
been publicly
elevated
released.
To an A. I could give it to you.
Listen,
I will give it to you.
Let's just bring the viewers up to speed. Let's just bring the viewers up to speed.
It was elevated to an A.
Let me just set the record, and then you guys can have at it. There was Trump University, which was a business that you started, and it was marketed to many people, and now there is a class action of over 5,000 plaintiffs against you, Mr. Trump,
right.
And it involves veterans, and it involves teachers, and it involves so-called little guys, working class and lower working class and middle class, who say that they were fleeced, who say it was a scam. The class has been certified, and in that case, you countersued the lead plaintiff, alleging that you were being defamed. That case was thrown out against her.
The lead plaintiff is now getting out of the case because it's so bad for her.
But
she
what happened
a letter,
was...
Excuse me. The lead plaintiff signed a letter saying how great it was and is on tape saying how great it was.
Okay, but what... No, but stand by. But what happened in that case was... You countersued her. The court threw out your countersuit and made you pay almost $800,000 in legal fees of hers. And you made the same argument about 98% of the people being happy with Trump University. And that woman in particular signing a survey saying she liked it while someone was standing
She's
over her shoulder.
She's getting out of the case.
And this
She's
is what
trying
the,
to get out
and
of
this
the case
is what
now
the,
because her case
stand by.
Didn't hold up.
This is what the Court of Appeals found. They said that the plaintiffs against you are like the Madoff victims.
Oh, give and me, they, give
this
me
is
a
what
proof.
The Court of Appeals said.
Give me a proof.
They found that victims of con artists often sing the praises of their victimizers until they realize they have been fleeced.
You know what? Let's see what happens in court. This is a civil case. Very easy to have settled. Could settle it now. Very easy to have settled. This is a civil case. Let's see what happens at the end of a couple of years when this case is over. Okay?
It's been going for 5 years.
Yeah, it's been going for a long time.
Go ahead, Senator.
I spoke to one
we'll
of
win the case
yesterday. I spoke to one of the victims yesterday.
One of the
victims. This gentleman, no, there's several. Obviously, there's so many, I can't talk to them every day. I spoke to one of them yesterday. Tell me exactly what happened. They signed up for this course because they believe Mr. Trump was this fantastic businessman, that Donald's going to teach them all the tricks of the trade. They signed up. They paid $15,000 for this course. They were asked for additional money for this course. If they really wanted the real secrets of success, they had to pay even more money, and so they did. And you know what they got in these courses? Stuff you can pull off of Zillow. When they finally realized what a scam it was, they asked for their money back, and you refused to give them their money back.
I gave many
why don't
people
you tonight,
their money back.
Then
Megan,
why don't you tonight
just,
say
let,
you're going to give the money back
let me
to everybody
just see.
Okay, Senator Rubio, let him answer.
Why doesn't he make that pledge right now?
Let him answer. Go ahead, Mr. Trump.
We will see who's right at the end of a few years. But all of the almost all of the people, many, many people, signed what's called a report card at the end. Did you like the course? How did you like it? Almost all of them said it was terrific, okay? With letters, with this. Some of them are on tape saying it was terrific. Let's see what happens at the end of 3 years.
With respect, Mr. Trump, one-third of the plaintiffs in that case demanded refunds. So it's not the case that 98% were
pleased
with what they got.
I gave some refunds to people.
He's trying to do to the American voter what he did to the people that signed up for this course. He's making promises. He has no intention of keeping it. And it won't just be $36,000 that they lose. It's our country that's at stake here.
What jumps out at you guys when you...
When Trump says, well, you just spoke to one of the victims. That was my favorite part. When Rubio says, I spoke to one of the victims. Oh, just one of the victims.
Well, I can't do one every day. What about you, Mark Baser? What jumps out at you on that audio?
That I have no idea what the truth is. That's what it's come to. And today, Trump... tweeted out and put on Facebook a rating from the better, exactly what he promised in that audio clip. And then other people have come back and said, yeah, you're right, because he did. He changed the name of the company. He couldn't call it a university anymore because it was not really a university. And then other people have said, well, you did have an A for a little bit, but then it went back to a D or a D minus, and that these grades fluctuate. So it was just another element of the debate as entertainment, but not as anything that I could take away and say, okay, now I know the truth.
What about you, Kristen?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you are a multi-billionaire and you start a bunch of business and you are an entrepreneur, you get sued a lot. So I don't have a good sense for whether this was like a pyramid scheme or whether it was a sincere attempt to try to help people. $15,000 sounds like an awful lot of money, but...
Wait a minute. Do you think it really might have been a sincere attempt to help people?
I mean, I think it would have been a sincere attempt to start a business for Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know, you know, if you sign up for something and you spend $15,000, what were they expecting to get in return? I'm not sure. So I kind of feel the same way, that I'm not ready to pick a side, really.
Really? Well, I mean, so it's not the slam dunk, huh?
There's the whole for-profit college
school education
industry
thing, right, which is...
The Kellogg, the DeVries, I mean, the University of Phoenixes, those have all come under attack for exactly maybe what he came under.
I mean, I think Rubio's right that he's cashing in. I mean, there also is a reference, and it might not be absolutely correct here, but when they talked about the Acapulco Trump or something like that, and he dismissed it, that went bankrupt or went under, and he goes, well, that was a licensing thing, you know, where he just sold his name to these other businesses. And I think this is just another example of that, where he's got a hot brand and he was trying to cash in on it.
Well, I don't know what to take away from it then. I thought that I was buying Rubio's point that this is emblematic of what Trump is trying to do to the American people, sell you something.
Right.
You
well,
go,
I think
you
that's what
grab it.
Right. He's got the brand, he's got the name, and he's trying to profit off the brand, or profit in this case off of a political gain.
I was impressed,
John,
too,
he's a con artist. I mean, Rubio is right about that. But.
Well, isn't that really the takeaway from this? I don't know if that matters to people that want to vote for Trump, but I think it was a scam exposed. Thank God that Fox did the homework on that and didn't let one of them just shout the other one down.
Hey, they were all good. The moderators were great.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were for putting on a really interesting show, right? I mean, you're the one, Mark, that said, I'm not sure that this made the issue any clearer for me, but at least it put them in their place sometimes, where they would have those video montages and graphics ready to go, anticipating what these guys would say. I thought it was just fascinating.
Right, when Donald Trump was going to cut $300 billion from the pharmaceutical spending or something like that.
Sure,
and
sure.
And they brought up the chart and said, well, we really only spend 78 or 87
yeah,
billion.
It's not, if we cut all of it, it wouldn't begin to touch what you're talking about compared to the federal budget and deficit anyway. And the audience applauded that. They really appreciated that insight. I felt terrible for the lead plaintiff in that case. Legal fees of almost $800,000. That's how you win when you're a big business, don't you? You just grind those people out. You just crush them with time and money, and eventually you'll win. And he was very proud of that. He said, I don't settle.
In a few years. Right?
I know. It's already been going on. He said a couple years, and then it was a few years. And she says, it's already been going on for five. And I thought, Oh, these poor people. They don't stand a chance.
He was interviewed on MSNBC a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Mika Brzezinski said, when are you going to name your foreign policy team? And if not, give me three people who you look to for advice. And that was a few weeks ago. And he said, I'm going to do it next week. And so he was back on that program earlier this week. And she said, you know, you said 2 weeks ago you're going to do it the next week and you didn't do it. He said, well, I said I'd do it in a week or two. It's already been two. Mm-hmm. So she said, well, tell me three people who you'd look to for advice. And he said, Richard Haass, which everyone knows he watches Morning Joe, and Richard Haass is a frequent guest, because he said earlier that he gets his knowledge by watching the shows. And then he said John McCain. He said John McCain was one of the people who he looked to and supported for
John
foreign
McCain,
policy.
The not real the war
loser,
hero,
the, not
the loser,
real, right. And the same guy who put out a statement that day saying not to vote for Trump. So the guy's got nothing there either. He's a con artist. And, you know, look at what we're talking about. We're talking about specifics when it should have stopped at the fact that we watched a presidential debate where it really looked like they were going to come to blows at one point.
Yeah,
the whole little
really
Marco,
did.
Lion, Rubin, or whatever, Rubio, or little Marco, Lion, Ted, or whatever it was. Lion Ted
over here.
I mean,
I
thought they might come. And then I also wondered if Kasich would just walk off, you know. Whether that would serve him, but I guess it wouldn't have done.
I think
well.
Kasich played it pretty well. You know, he didn't try and insert himself. I think the winners last night were Cruz and Kasich, because twice, in two separate occasions, Cruz said, this is just a 10-second soundbite, guys, but Cruz said something like this.
Senator Cruz.
Brett, you know, I think the American people understand that yelling and cursing at people doesn't make you a tough guy. We need a commander-in-chief.
You know, he was positioning himself as the guy who was a little bit above the fray. All evidence to the contrary. And then Kasich particularly didn't get into it. Kasich just, you know, kept doing the Kasich thing. I've been there. I helped Reagan, et cetera, et cetera. After
I can't
the
stand
debate,
him. I cannot.
Kasich?
Stand, yeah, I can't.
Kasich?
I'll tell you why. I'll
you mean
tell
the
you
qualified
why.
One?
Maybe because
the happy warrior. He's a happy warrior. How could you be against that?
Maybe because my parents live in Ohio, and they don't have fond things to say. But you know, he had that moment in the debate last night. First of all, you're right, happy warrior. He's acting like he's so above the fray. And he has that line where he's talking about gay marriage and whether somebody could sell, who didn't believe
wedding
in gay marriage.
Right. Don't take like
I think they used cupcakes, which somebody on Twitter put, who has cupcakes at a wedding?
Ohio.
Whatever. Whatever.
Anyways, he says, I wish it just didn't get to the legal system. I wish we could all just get along and love each other. And if you don't agree with it, then don't sell them a cupcake. Don't sell them a cake. And let that be okay to the gay couple. Don't worry about it. And so on the one hand, he's saying, let's all go above the fray and love each other. On the other hand, he's endorsing what I would call discrimination. So he's acting like something that he's acting as if he's above the fray and all about love and everything. But that was exactly the opposite of what the actual message
was.
See,
that is funny. I think I kind of like what he says there. It's like, you know what? You should sell them a cupcake. But if you don't want to, and if they don't want to sell you cupcakes, go. There are plenty of people who do. Go find someone. Now,
who's the federal government?
Mark's
to tell
giving
you?
Me a look.
I am.
Yeah, no
I know.
Kidding.
And I agree with you with the law 110%. Absolutely. They should be obligated to. And if required, they should be forced to. But I think what he's saying is that if you're the offended party, don't do with those losers. Go somewhere else and give someone else your business rather than taking it to court all the time. I think that's not – I'm okay with that.
I mean, the equivalent would be – and you could say I'm making a false equivalent, but I'm not – I don't think I am, which is back in the days when some people refused service to black people, you could say, hey, don't worry about that diner. Go to the diner down the street because they'll serve black people.
Yeah.
So
you know,
Kasich,
you're right. You're right.
25. He has 25 delegates. Trump has 329.
Good point.
I mean, I don't really think he's a factor.
But they haven't voted in Ohio yet, Kristen.
I know.
And they have 9,000 delegates.
Michigan. Well, they gave a
every
a
citizen
Trump,
of Ohio is a delegate.
they gave Trump supporters those little meters where they could score the debate as it was going on. And the highest score for any of the candidates at any point last night was when Kasich was saying something, you know, conciliatory and about his experience. I don't know if that translates. Maybe it's too little too late, but I like the contrast, Mark. I think
Oh, I agree. He's good to have there. He's good.
And he beats Hillary. He's right. He is the one candidate that beats Hillary by the most, like by 12 points in a CNN survey this week. He beats Hillary by 12 points.
Well, I agree with Kristen that there's no – that I would – if I were a Democrat thinking that Hillary is a shoo-in, I wouldn't think that against any of them.
And the light bulb just went off in my head going back to our little argument. I mean, it's – your parallel is correct. But what black Americans were facing in the 50s and 60s isn't what gay Americans are facing in the 2010s. I mean, it's discrimination, but it's not as dire as discrimination. So I think there's some difference.
True.
In that.
I absolutely agree with that. And I also agree that most people would probably not want most gay couples. Most other I think I wouldn't want to have to buy a cake from somebody who
didn't
felt
want
was,
to sell it to you.
Or, yeah, right. But I think there is an argument to be made for the principle of taking that person to court.
Right. We agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, after Mitt Romney comes out this week and all of the editorial writers, and there have been some really good pieces put out where it's sort of a compilation of what a lot of conservative thinkers are saying about this Trump phenomenon. And after last night's debate, do you all think that maybe that critical mass I've been waiting for is eventually going to come and defeat Trump? Is he going to be the nominee, or is maybe the gravity of his candidacy going to start to weigh him down? Do you know what I mean, Steve? Do you think that maybe we began to see last night him lose his momentum and lose the campaign?
I'm going to yield my time to Kristen.
You know, I just think it's too late. I mean, he just won Super Tuesday. He has more delegates than anyone else. You take this, if the Republican Party Trump factor takes this, they simply make the case against these voters who make the case for them. They're so outraged at the GOP establishment. They want someone different. Trump is bringing more people to vote who have not voted before. You have the potential to have a big backlash, and I just think it's too late. Voters are choosing him, and we'll find out. So tomorrow is Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, and Nebraska. I think he's going to do well in all of those states too.
But there must be such a thing as a casual Trump voter, right? I mean, the hardcore aren't going to be swayed, but there must be casual Trump voters in there who maybe will be swayed, but at least give it a fresh look from all of this.
I would agree with that, but I think the hardcore
and they'll vote
Trump
different
supporters
ways, yeah.
are, this is making them dig their heels in even more.
Plus, you're not a voter until you vote. I mean, polls aren't votes. Polls aren't even caucuses, you know?
That's correct.
The polls have been very accurate.
The votes have been pretty voting.
Do any of you personally know somebody who's voting for Trump?
No.
One of my cousins on Facebook.
I was at an event of a party a couple of weeks ago, and one guy was I would call a business leader, and another guy, a very smart guy, and I was kind of taken aback that they were both saying positive things about Trump.
Huh. I know more people, Mark, who, like my brother, who has voted historically Republican but will not vote for Trump. I know more people like that.
I do, too.
Hillary will win, that goes to show that we live
in a certain...
One of the great things about this process, and I've been saying this on the radio over and over, is we tend to learn what a big and different country it is. You know,
how
different it is in Iowa to New Hampshire to South Carolina to Nevada. You know, you're right. We tend to think that the world is our world, and it's not.
Well, we're flying the freak flag in Minnesota here because. In our caucus, I participated in my first caucus ever. We put Cruz on top and Bernie Sanders on top.
No, Rubio. Rubio. You were the one.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You were the one thing holding on to.
You better go practice your caucus again.
You can tell which caucus I participated
you're a terrible
in.
Terrible caucus goer.
I went to my first Democratic caucus, and
Jesse Ventura came out.
Ventura said last week that he'll vote for either Trump or Sanders, that's range, isn't it? But it was fascinating to go to this caucus thing because, you know, it's like people gathering in gyms and it's really low tech. And when you pulled up to the school, you had to park like three blocks away.
Did they have a potluck?
And the line came out the school. And, you know, in America, that's... You know, that's voting under duress. Other parts of the world, it's bullets flying over your head. But we had to stand there with our cell phones in 28-degree weather.
How long were you there?
The whole process for me, I didn't have to listen to a lot of speeches. We didn't, you know, persuade each other. You pretty much stopped by, dropped off your vote, and left. I was in and out in 30 minutes.
I was going to say, if you're there more than 30 minutes, do they they dip your thumb in purple ink to prove your hardship.
Yes, I know. To right? prove that you voted. Yeah, no kidding. All right. So I want to wrap this up, though, with everybody signing off on this. So, Decker, I'm sorry. McQuarrie, you think that Trump is still going to be the candidate for the Republican Party, right?
I do. I know you're hoping that it turns, but I think he is.
How about you, Steve Bertrand? Where are you on this?
John Kasich.
Are you funny now? These are serious questions.
You laugh now. Have I been saying Trump?
Yeah.
Right. Well,
you get to say he gets to be flexible. It's like yoga.
I love
he gets
that line.
To change his position.
Yeah. With my heart, I'm still saying Kasich.
Kasich. Okay. How about you, Mark Baser?
You know, I would have not said Trump until the very last moment of the debate, where they asked the other candidates if they would support Trump, and they said yes.
What else would you say?
I think you say no.
Really?
Oh, you absolutely say no. Are you kidding me? You're trying to win all the other votes of the non-Trump supporters. But the answer was no.
You're trying to win your party's nomination.
With 60% of the people who aren't going to vote for him.
The problem
him.
Is
really,
they're getting
Steve?
Mocked now. They're saying, you they call are. Him they a are. Con man who does all these terrible things, but I'll support him.
And you
him.
Would support him.
I agree they're being mocked now, but I don't know how you say
they
no.
They should have prepared for it. They should have known that question was coming.
They should have taken him on. I know you got to go, John, but Kristen and I disagree on the taxes, too. He wasn't asked at all about releasing his taxes last night, and I think he's vulnerable there.
I can't imagine why. What in the world? Imagine something in his taxes that are going to hurt him.
His tax rate—the rate that he paid was at 8% or something like that. When he's talking about evening out for the rest of the world, and he legally takes advantage of all the opportunities for the very wealthy in this country, that brings his tax rate down.
As did Mitt Romney. You think that his supporters aren't going to pat him on the back and say, attaboy, it played by the rules, but it's a screwed system?
I don't know.
Really? You think that the taxes will be an Achilles heel for him?
I think if he has given no money to charity or something like that comes out, would be more damaging than him paying a lower tax rate. I just don't think... if you actually take the dollar amount that he pays, it's probably going to be huge. Huge.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Huge.
So, Baser, you think it's going to be Trump? Is that right?
I do. I can't believe it.
I'm not saying you have to like it. I'm asking you, do you think he's going to win the nomination?
I do. I don't. He might not get the delegates, and it might be I think that is going to be must-see television, the convention.
Yeah,
if
no
they
kidding.
Even air it, you know. I wish they would just release all the debates at once like Netflix.
including
the convention at the
day.
End. Yeah,
it was something to see last night. Well, I'm still with Rubio. I still think that
no one laughs at him. Williams, he says Rubio.
I have no I have no reason to support that
because he won Minnesota, and you're in this bubble. There.
Little does John know he won Minnesota.
Yeah. I have to apologize for that. All right. Well, I was going to ask you guys about Aaron Andrews, but now I'm exhausted and I don't even want to talk about that, the $75 million civil suit. Does anybody have anything specific they want to say about that story? I found it fascinating this week. $75 million against the Marriott Corporation. They could have settled this, but they didn't. So we're watching this thing play out. And here's... Okay, I'm going to talk about it for just a second. The most galling thing this week was when a Marriott executive is at a restaurant during the trial and actually sitting with friends, and they pull up the video of her nude in the hotel room, and they're looking at it.
Oh, John, he asked them to stop.
Yeah, but they didn't do it as quickly as he would have liked. Holy cow. The waitress sees this. It makes news. If Aaron Andrews' point is, this really is damaging to me personally, or professionally for the rest of my life, there was the evidence, even at that restaurant. The jurors didn't see that or hear that. They don't know about that. At least they don't as I speak. But I'm starting to feel like, what the hell? Give her $75 million just because I get so angry at what happened here. Anybody want to jump in on that observation?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think it has damaged her. I can't look at her without thinking about that video. And when I stay in hotels, which I just did a couple weeks ago in Springfield, I'm looking up at the vents and,
really?
You know, yes, it was just and continues to be, even though it was, 2008, so it was 8 years ago. It was, you know, to suggest that somehow she profited off of it and therefore Marriott doesn't owe her $75 million is just kind of a despicable argument.
Yeah, well, but she has done well for herself since then, right? I don't know that that matters, but Dancing with the Stars, she does that, does it well, gets paid a lot of money for that, I suppose. She still does football games and sporting events, so her career hasn't suffered for this, right?
But she has suffered, and I think that was the point her father was making, that she personally is a very different person, and you know, it changed her. And so despite her career taking off, which it did, you know, it hurt her personally.
$75 million, yeah. And while that sounds like an outrageous amount of money, I think the crime here is outrageous. Have you ever called to a hotel to try and get somebody? You know, if you cannot get out of those people what room that person is staying in, even if it's your wife, even if it's you, if you don't remember what room you're in, you'd better have ID or something. They make it very difficult to find the room that someone is staying in. That you could say, hey, I want the room next to Aaron Andrews. I can't believe that happened. So that's where that story is today. Okay, guys, thanks for joining us. Kristen McQuarrie writes editorials for the Chicago Tribune. Steve Bertrand, you hear him on WGN Radio News. You can also follow him on Steve Bertrand on Books, Steve Bertrand Travel. And what's the name of that noontime business show you do, Steve?
It's called The Business Lunch, and it's just 12 minutes away.
Yeah, well, I know. You got to go.
It. Yeah.
And Mark Baser is also a talk show host. You can. Is Baser still in the room?
Or
is he also
I am. I'm there.
How do people find you, Mark Baser?
We have a show tonight. I don't know if this is going to be up by then. But
No, it won't be. It'll be pointless to mention that. But in ensuing shows.
Sounds like a good show, though.
Can we get it on Netflix?
The interview show is Chicago.com.
Actually, yeah. You can watch his episodes on the Chicago
Tribune.
Or
you can email me, and I'll just describe what happened tonight.
No, really, Mark, one more time. So if I want to see your stuff, where do I go?
The
Interview Show Chicago.com. Okay, I'm John Williams. I'm King John on Facebook, and you can hear me Saturdays on WGN from 1 to 3. Our engineer is Bob Ferguson. The producer of this is Kristen Decker, and we'll drop another podcast next week.
The Mincing Rascals podcast is distributed by the WGN Plus Podcast Network. You can listen on the WGN Plus app or online at WGNplus.com, or you can subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes.